Hey everyone, welcome back to the Foul Hour. Today I'm joined by Brandon Gross from Maryland in the big ol' US of A. Brandon is a designer and hype beast, which we'll get into what that means and how it's basically shaped what he does now. If you've probably seen his account on Instagram where he curates incredible design work and animation work, and you can go and check out some of his links down in the description for today's show. We have an amazing conversation and he brings so much positivity to this episode. It was amazing speaking to him and I had so much fun as well. Before we get started today, quick shout to our sponsors, Skillshare and the logo package. We're going to start off with the logo package today because why not? So as you may have been aware, the logo package had a 33% off discount code in April. Sorry, in March to April. As this episode has gone live now, that I'm afraid that discount's disappeared. It's gone into the ether and it may never return. But fortunately, in case you missed out on 33% off, you can use the link down in the description to get 20% off their Logo Package Express plugin for Adobe Illustrator that can save you hundreds of hours in exporting and formatting your logo designs for clients or even just personal use. If you want to keep a nice, tidy archive of your design work, then this plugin is going to literally save you hundreds of hours, as it has saved me when I was making my logo store. So to access that, you want to go down in the description, use my special link, and all listeners for the show will get 20% off the Logo Package Express plugin for Adobe Illustrator. Thank you to them for sponsoring the show. Now, little secret for our second sponsor, Skillshare. I believe, so the rumors tell me, that Aaron Draplin is going to be having a new Skillshare course coming out in April sometime. It might be April, it might be May, but in the very near future. And if you'd like to get access to that course and over 30,000 other unlimited access to over 30,000 other courses to learn about design, to learn about business, to learn about painting, and all manner of creative and business skills, you'll want to go to Skillshare. Now you can get 2 free months of the whole platform by going to skl.sh/cfowlerdesign. You can do it on your phone. It's super easy to set up an account and you get those 2 free months straight away. You can cancel at any time, but within those 2 free months, you can learn a whole lot of stuff. Like I am still constantly amazed at what I can find on there and how much amazing content is being added every day. I mean, past guest Jeremy Murrah as well, he has some great courses on there too, including one about learning about Instagram carousels, social media content, and using Adobe tools too. So go and check those out and get yourself 2 free months of Skillshare by going to skl.sh/cfowlerdesign. And now on to today's show with Brandon. Welcome back to the Foul Hour. Today I'm joined by Brandon Gross, as in nasty, or nasty as he's put it. But you know, I mean, it's one of those things that I can never can pronounce people's names correctly. And you want to know, because now you've said it's Brandon Gross, I'm like, it could have been Brandon Grosh. Brandon Grosh. Oh. Anyway, Brandon's here with us today. He is a designer and hype beast, and he's partnered with Adobe and a whole bunch of amazing design education platforms and work as well. And we've been trying to figure this out for a while, haven't we, Brandon?
Yeah, it's mostly my fault. It's been 3 weeks, guys. We could have gotten this to you a little earlier, but your boy likes to sleep in on his weekends, and I've left Connor many a times hanging by his computer, so I am terribly sorry.
It's totally cool, man, but it's also one of those things that we're in lockdown at the moment, like kind of the world's
Outside of lockdown. I appreciate you trying to give me some outs here, but I was definitely locked in my dreams. I was like, about to eat cake in my dreams.
Maybe it was so many layers in that it was like, oh, I'm on the podcast with Connor right now. And then you wake up and it's like Inception. It's like,
Oh, fuck. That was how it was every Saturday. I was like, I feel like I got some shit to do. Fuck.
Hitting you square in the face. So as I listed kind of at the start there, Brandon, you're a designer and a hype beast. What does that mean for the people at home who may not know who you are?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been many things in the past, granted, designer for Fortune 500s, but now, you know, for those of you guys who do know me and those who don't, basically, I am a designer, but I also like to put a lot of designers on. And what that means is basically just showcasing what the top designers in the world are doing today and giving you guys a little bit of insight on what exactly they're doing, where they get their skill sets from, and also pointing you guys in the direction of tools, skills, and resources to gain to get to that level. So I'm basically the design hype beast in the shortest way possible. So, yeah, I do most of that on Instagram, and you guys should follow me, just FYI.
And I say, the links will be down in the description, as always.
Yeah, All in the description. But basically how I got here, to be honest, I'm not sure if we want to get into that, but...
Go for it, man. Connor, like, where are we going? This is important. Like, this is... I don't... I know you have your own podcast.
Just give me a road!
You have your own podcast, so it feels weird. I've done this before where you go on someone else's show and you're like, am I leading the conversation? Are they leading the conversation? Should I be talking still? How do I do this? So, what I'm thinking, man, you're a hype beast. You're sharing all this amazing content. You're putting people on showcase for the amazing stuff that they do. And I think that's really important in this industry because we have things like reposting inspiration accounts, but no one's really taking the time to actually curate something that is valuable for people coming up through the industry. And also, as you said, showing the best stuff in the world and bringing more attention to those people. But let's rewind that a second. And as you said, like, where did this start? Have you always been teaching, or is it more of a case of this is something you've transitioned into?
Always been a transition, man. Everything with me is a consistent accident, I guess. Or not a consistent accident. I am consistent in what it is I'm trying to do, but then the outcomes are like accidents. So, like, for example, my Instagram started just because I was like, I'm very much into like doing one thing for long periods of time. Like, I do intermittent fasting. Only reason I do that is because I don't like to think. I want my head as empty as possible at all times. I hate thinking. So I have all these routines and I stick to them. I literally have alarm. Before we started, I had to turn off the alarms for like my lunch because I know it's going to run in to when we end the podcast. So I have a whole bunch of routines in, the way I wanted to put myself or really give myself inspiration was like every day or see what was out in the design industry was every day go out and research what the top people are and kind of make a catalog for myself. And that's literally where my Instagram started. It was a whole bunch of like personal stuff to begin with. And I was just like, fuck that. Why do I need to do that? Let's do something a little bit more constructive. So every day I would find like 3 to 4 pieces of content that I really floored me and that were amazing. And I would post them for myself. And also tag the designer or the artist. And I just did that for a full year. I did it every day, including weekends. And it ended up turning into, I guess, the beginning of what I have today, a platform where people want to also be showcased on to promote their own work, but also an outlet or where people can come and learn. So it started off as a something for me, and then other people who kind of wanted the same sort of thing that I wanted, but didn't want to put in the, you know, wanted to do all that. They just came to my board and were like, yo, this shit is pretty awesome. And then on top of that, I, you know, because everybody, there's like, what is it? UI design patterns, there's UX design patterns, there's people who do this all over the internet. And I was just like, well, that's fucking boring if I continue to just do the same thing. What is that next thing to do? And I was like, okay, well, maybe we can start doing videos. So I started doing videos. And then once I started doing videos, I started to get or catch the eye of Adobe. I worked with LG on some stuff, but you know, on other accounts, because I was kind of putting, I was testing this sort of growth hack, like curated posts and stuff in other niches. I was doing this with like, in the industry, they call it like PC porn. That is not to be.
You know what I mean? I know what you mean.
It's not.
Custom builds, like that type of stuff.
Custom built laptops, custom built computers, setups, and people make some really cool shit. And so I was testing that, and I was so pissed because that shit blew up to like 60,000 while my ass was still, my personal brand was at like 5,000. And so that's how I got to work with LG. But at the time, I was just testing out a whole bunch of, and I'm going on a rant now, because I don't know where I'm going with this, but I was testing out like this theory of what this whole inspiration post sort of thing, what I can do with it. And I learned that it is very valuable to brands because the what a brand is trying to do is trying to reach more audiences. And with my LG account or my, it's still live, I forget what it's called, PC Gaming Freaks, I was able to outperform accounts that have been live for like 4 years. I had only been live for like 6 months, and I was getting like millions of impressions in in like weeks or not weeks, but in a week. And so basically I took all that learning. I was like, oh, okay. LG contacted me for this. I had no intentions of doing that. How can I do this with my account? And then that's when I started doing videos and actually had intentions with it. So it was all accidental. I was just trying to be consistent and have a schedule for myself, build myself an inspiration board. And then through that consistency, like weird shit was happening. I was like, oh, this is what can happen if I continue doing these sort of actions on the day-to-day basis. So I guess in a long, long-winded, map of my journey, that it was all accidental. It just all was from consistent actions of trying to do something for myself.
Yeah, and it sounds like you took a kind of a private Pinterest board tactic to public Instagram. That's the way I look at your account sometimes, is I'll go through and I'll be like, Brandon's clearly taken the time to go and find all this stuff, which is why people love it, because they know they can get good stuff from your feed. But when it started and how you started that account is such a different tactic to the way most people would do stuff. I mean, there are not many people who use their personal profile, which is what you do, to curate that type of content. And I think many people, myself included, would look at that and go, I see what he's doing there, and I see that's really cool. But if I suddenly started doing that, people might look at me and go, who the hell is this guy sharing other people's work? He's just using it to like get more work for himself. And it's like, you know what I mean?
No, it's not. Everybody says that.
Yeah. I can see it's not for you. And you can very clearly see that from your profile. And that's how you just look at the captions. Like if you go and look at Brandon's posts, guys at home, you can see by the captions how excited you are about finding this stuff. It's not just like, I don't want to name any names, but just generic, more kind of basic reposting accounts where they're just shuffling content through. You actually care.
Yeah.
But many people, as from your reaction, clearly don't think the same.
Yeah. Every person I've talked to, they're like, don't. Or even if I'm talking to like an agency and they're like, well, aren't people, what if our competitors like get mad that we're posting something that's theirs? And I'm like, how would you be mad if, let's say, Gary Vee posted your fucking work on his shit and was like, yo, take a look at this. So-and-so did it. It's really awesome. And you get all of that traffic and run through or run off from his channel over to yours. Like, that's, you're reaching new people, new audiences. And a lot of people don't think about it. It's just like, people think about it in such an egotistical way rather than a community sort of way. I'm just like, and what I mean by that, a lot of people can get butthurt when I say egotistical. It's just like self-centered approach to their timelines. I don't care what exactly, it's never been really, my thing has never been about me other than like what looks cool, but I'm always like, damn, this person does really cool. And let me, cause what happens is you take a piece of artwork, right? And it happens in physical life. Let's say you buy a piece of artwork, you put it in your house, you have people over. And people are like, oh shit, where'd you get that? Who's that from? And then you basically opened your friends or your family's eyes to an artist they may not have heard before or seen before. But now, because they have the relationship with you and they're seeing this new piece of art and now know this new artist because of you, they're going to go check it out. They're going to be fans of theirs. And that's basically what I'm doing in just the digital space. Now I have an audience, but before there was a select group of people who had relationships with me and I was just opening to their eyes to what is out there in the world. And I think when you take it like that approach, it's way different than being like, oh, I'm going to snatch Joey or Jill's artwork and just post it on my shit because I know I can get work from this. Most of the time, I don't even take the work that is asked for me in terms of like web design or graphic design. I either contact the artist, because what happens is I get contacted about the work, and then I'm just like, well, first of all, I'm not able to do this, but I have the connection with the artist who has made this, and that's a different business model. You can actually comb off the top. What is it? A percentage of being a referral guy or a referral girl. Hey, I have a line of business for you. I'm not doing that shit. So just give me 10 to 20% off the top for commission and here's some work for you. So it's a line of business of referral rather than like being ignorant and being like, oh, I'm going to hoard all this work to myself.
Yeah, and that's but that's two different kind of approaches that you just mentioned there, and I don't think people talk about this. It's like, if you hired a salesperson, if you were a massive agency, hired a salesperson, they would want 10 to 20% off the top of every job that you took on. And it's no different than that, except that instead of going out and finding the jobs, those people are coming to you and then by proxy trying to get to that designer. Like, it's kind of a roundabout way. But you're totally right on the idea of things like people being butthurt about this stuff. And I've come across this in the past as well, where people feel very, very attached to their own work. So much so that if anybody else touches it, whether that is even being reposted on a blog, someone kind of downloading the picture, uploading it somewhere else, and then tagging them in it, people are like, do not repost my shit. Like, they get really aggressive. And this is a really big problem in the illustration industry. Like, my girlfriend's an illustrator, so I see this all the time of people going, please do not repost my work. Please just, like, please don't download it and re-upload it. Just retweet my work. And I'm like, it's the same thing. As long as they credit you, it's the same thing.
Yeah, as long as they credit. Like, if they don't credit, that is a big issue. That's just stealing. But if they credit you, why are we out here getting mad? That's, like, I feel very appreciative if anybody were to, and sometimes there's accidents. Sometimes there's reposting and it's just like, oh, fuck. Because I've done the same thing where I've tagged the wrong person and people are like, by the way, this is so-and-so. I'm like, oh, shit. And then I just go and fix it. And even then, out of my whole entire career of doing this, there was one person who was like, can you take my stuff down? And then they were mad because they came back to me, because this is around when I was just starting out. I was between 5,000, 10,000. And only one person was like, can you take my stuff down? Not can you. He was an asshole about it. And then as I grew up, he was like, can you push my stuff back out there? You know what I mean? So it's like, because you're helping other people build their brands. That's what it is. I'm building a network. I don't care to make money off of this. I want people to know, like, if this is your artwork, I want people to know that this is your artwork and that they can contact you to get that sort of thing. Because first of all, I'm not gonna be able to do it. I am not the best designer. I am the better entertainer, and I'm happy to fill that role. That's just how I feel like it. I can happily bridge the gap between a customer and someone who does amazing work, and I'm happy just with that. I'm not gonna try to fake that I can do X, Y, or Z design. I mean, I can design, but that I'm not the best designer.
Yeah, what you're describing just there kind of reminded me of the collector from Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, the guy who has this massive warehouse of amazing works and Russian space dogs, and you're walking people around going, well, if you'd like to speak to this artist, this is their work, I can show you them. Obviously, it's not like an old world museum, it's all digital artwork and digital design. Yeah. But it's that kind of approach, isn't it, where you are the hub and people can come to you. So that's kind of like what you're doing right about now. And before we started the call today, you said you worked in-house at times. Before, was this kind of before shifting through this, or was this whilst, were you growing these accounts and growing the kind of the Hypebeast persona out while you were in-house, or is this something that's kind of been
while
able to fulfill itself?
Man. Yeah. While in-house. Because the thing is that I'm only just now being able to do this full time. I literally left my full time literally a month ago.
Oh, geez.
Yes. Everything before that, I was doing everything while doing a full time job. I had a full time job since however long I've been in the industry, which is 9 years. I don't know what year that is.
2011.
Pre-quarantine, guys, just okay for those of you guys listening to this in the future.
We're still locked in our bunkers, like.
Yeah, but during the before times, the before, and really, I mean, all I did was I took a couple hours in the beginning of my day to find some stuff, and that's what I think is, to me, a lot of people want to figure out like how to build a business, like, and just do the business right off the bat. I can't give you the answer for that. I don't know how to start something from the ground up and just be doing that only. Just thinking about it is, I'm like hyperventilating. People like me, people like Rand Segal, people who run, I don't know, I can't speak for the people who, you know, run businesses and have been able to like achieve that just by, you know, going from scratch to building something, I've always felt very comfortable having a 9-to-5 and then carving out time to do a side hustle. Because I need some security to feel good to do my work at the best capacity. I've always worked at an agency, worked full time until I could pay the bare minimum of just so I had like my main things taken care of, my home, my food, ways to relax. And then so I was just in the best mental ability to do what I wanted to do on the side until my side stuff could do all of, you know, pay for my house, pay for my food, etc. So I was just doing two full-time jobs until I could just pick my side hustle, which is now my full-time, and sustain with all of that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Connor? You're full-time doing your own thing. Was it the same thing for you?
So I kind of, my path into this is a bit different. So I, how old was I? 2020. So 5 years ago now, I basically decided whilst working at a supermarket, I was like kind of bored of this. So I stayed there for a year, but the idea was that I was meant to move in with a previous partner, and that kind of just fell out of the sky out of nowhere. So I ended up working the supermarket job for another 6 months and being like, I was saving up all this money, having an awful job that I hate, to go and live with someone who now doesn't even want to talk to me ever again for some reason that I don't know. And then I was like, right, well, we're just going to do what I want to do. So I decided to save all the money and kind of bank on this idea of, well, I have enough design skills to do something. Let's see what we can do. And I had about 6 months of runway. Built up from there. But it's been up and down. So it wouldn't be 5 years. I haven't been doing this 5 years at all. I've been doing this 2 and a bit, almost 3. But it's been very up and down. It's been all over the place. And I'm very lucky that I've been able to either live with my parents at times. Right now we're doing that because we're kind of in between. Me and Lydia are meant to be moving to like Sheffield, but Corona stopped that. So you've got to kind of find this gap. But in terms of would I have worked a 9-to-5 in an agency, which was your question, personally, I would have given it a go, but I wouldn't have been there for long. I can't imagine. More because I don't like having a boss. Just solemn nods in the background. But I completely appreciate your side though, which is that having the security for some people is just as valuable. Yeah, and I think people forget that, especially people who I'm sure you get messages like this too, of people going, I want to do freelance, I want to do this by myself, how do I do that? And my answer is always, do not do it the way I did it, which was having no clients, 6 months of money, and just praying, basically. Yeah. Do what you're doing.
That'll put an elephant on your chest. Oh, yeah. Shit. I'm the first one. What is it? I'm a brown belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And, like, I know how to survive. I know how to defend myself at all costs. And people are like, Brandon, why do you carry pepper spray? I'm like, nah, bitch, I'm the first one to run. I'm going to spray somebody. Like, I do not do good with things I'm always the first one to run. I'm always like I need to be the utmost prepared for any situation. So like 6 months, I'm just like, man, I need 3 years of shit in the bank before I can, do my thing. Because I'm pretty lazy, man. And when I say lazy, I like to do one thing a day or focus on one task. I like to not really have to think during the day. I'm very like slow moving, but like my skill set is focus. Like that's the only thing I got. So it's different, and I need to always give myself security so that I can do my best work.
That's good, though. It's good that you recognize that in yourself. And to your point about pepper spray, I did karate for 8 years, got my black belt in that, and I will still do my best to avoid any kind of fight. Exactly. Because it's just not worth it, mate. Like,
yeah. People got knives and guns. People out here crazy.
Yeah, we don't have guns over here, but people are definitely crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, no.
But yeah, so to your point of that security and how, well, not even that, just the focus, the fact you're so self-aware of that you can you know that about yourself. Is that something that you've kind of just picked up over time, or is that something you've always known, like back in school, being like, I have to do this methodically, otherwise I'm just going to be screaming like a headless chicken running around?
So in school, I never really understood. I'm a horrible student, and I just don't like authority. I really don't. Not at all. And so in school, it was just like all this multitask stuff, and I really didn't understand like why we didn't go deep into subjects. Like, why are we learning these subjects to begin with?
Super
like,
surface what are we level, going wasn't to, it? Yeah.
Yeah, like, what are we going to apply this to that can actually get us ahead? So I don't really care about learning anything unless I know how to apply it. So, like, I'll read maybe sections of a book, and I'll stop as soon as I get to, like, one chunk of something. And I'm like, oh, this is useful. Let me go and apply it. And then when I've applied it for, like, 2 weeks, then I can come back and read the next section of the book. And then if it has a small chunk, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to stop here. And we're just going to apply this. I'm very much a doer than anything else. That's why I'm not the best thinker. I'm always like, I'll learn a small chunk like, and then go and apply it. And I think that's how it's always been. I think that's why what makes me a good martial artist, because I don't think you really have to. I guess people are different. Like I'm very, what is the word? My body is, I'm very in tune with my body, and like my instincts are very good. So, and I'm not using the right words to explain that, but my intuition and like my doer skills are much better than my thinking in strategic skills.
Like your reactions. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, I'll just be like, oh, I can attack it from this angle or this angle or this angle. And I'll be like, all right, I'm done thinking about it. We spent 5 minutes already thinking. Can I go do it now? 5 minutes is too long. So I just am more of a person that likes to think about it for just a little bit and just go apply it. And if it doesn't work, I'm like, all right, we got to think about something else. That's been my entire life. And I think that is my strength. A lot of people, like my partner, he's a very analytical. I will never be able to do what he's capable of doing. And same thing for like the opposite. Like I'm very much like, why? We've thought about it already. Why can't we go and do it now? And he's like, but there's other things to think about. I'm like, no, we don't know even if it even works yet. So, yeah, that's my strength. And I figured that out just by, I don't know. There was never even like an aha, like this is what I do. I know myself now. That's the best way that allows me to not have the most stress in my day. Because when I start thinking, I'm like, why are we sitting here thinking? This is not, it pisses me off to do anything any other way than the way I know how to do best. Does that make sense?
Totally. Especially when, like, yeah, go on.
It's like, you like to put the toilet paper on the roll or like on the thing next, whatever the slot thing is, I don't know. You like to put it where it belongs in the bathroom. Whereas, like, me, I like to put that shit on top of the sink because I don't wipe sitting down. I don't know how people do that. So it bothers me.
That's not where I thought that was going.
Only with Brandon Gross.
Yeah.
No, but you know when, like, you do something a certain way, but then somebody else comes along and fucks it up. Like, you like to put, what is something that you like to do? Like, you have a very specific way of doing something.
Oh, God. I have a long list. I have a laundry list.
One thing. And so you know when your parents or your sister...
If I'm writing and you come and disturb me, I will flip out. Like...
Exactly.
I need the train of thought. Yeah.
Exactly. So you're like, only disrupt me between this time and this time. Same thing with me. I literally have... I'm like, if the door is closed, that means do not talk to me. So there's certain habits we each have, and... I just know I'm going my right way if I'm not disrupted in what I'm trying to do, I guess.
And especially if you can articulate that, because a lot of people can't even do that. A lot of people don't recognize in themselves that they have these tendencies, or that this is the best way that they learn, or this is the best way that they absorb information. And as you said, you're a doer. But a lot of people prefer to just sit down and read the entire book and then go back through and read it again and read it again and read it again.
Yeah.
And unless you're self-aware of that, you're not going to go very far. And clearly what your doer attitude has helped you do is build something consistently, which even if you feel it is a slow pace compared to some people, it clearly, it does that arc. Of course, it's like the exponential curve where you get to a point where it just kind of, you tick along, tick along, tick along, and then you just hit like the waterfall effect and just crash out. Rather than kind of, which has obviously worked for you as well with your partner as well, that the communication level you have and the awareness that you have of yourself, you can then apply everywhere.
It works to a level.
Yeah, there'll to always a point. Be- yeah, yeah, yeah. There will always be a breakdown somewhere.
Yeah. Because it's always two different people. It's like, this is what works for me, and this is what works for you. And what works for me and what works for him might not work for each other. So that's what we got to talk about. Because I like leaving my dishes everywhere. I'm like, I'll get to it when I need to use it again. That makes sense. But he's like, no, you've used it. Clean it. And I'm like, no. That's
it
not
needs
how.
To be within reach. Like, you need to have all the dishes within reach of the workstation. Like, I just need everything where it's going to be.
Exactly. I'm like, what is it? The toilet seat. I hate when he puts the toilet seat down. I'm like, we're just going to pee again. What are you doing? And he's like, no, it needs to be clean. It needs to be put down. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. That means every time I got to go pee, I got to put the toilet seat back up. That's one more action I have to do.
Oh, you're an actions person. Here it is. It's the optimization. It's kind of similar to me then, because I like to, obviously what we're talking about here is like literally toilet humor, but it's the fact you like optimizing your task, optimizing day to day, making sure you have that routine, making sure things are a certain way. Most of the time, that's perfectly fine. Like doing your own stuff, getting on with stuff. But the second you have another person, obviously things can go up and down. But then kind of pinning that back to working in-house, what was that like? If you're talking to me like this now, was that the same? Is there anything you can share? Or are we touching on a subject you don't even want to go into?
No, in-house is fine. Okay, this is the thing. So I really liked agency. Reason being is because you learn so much. You get to have hands-on on everything. You get to make a lot of decisions. You get to make, you have a lot more power in an agency than anywhere else and a lot more say, just because those things tend to be smaller and, they need more people to take more responsibility for things. Whereas in a large corporation, like Fortune 500, 100 level shit, your ass is in a cubicle or in an open, granted they pay a lot better than an agency. But you have not that much responsibility. You're typically working in one way. You don't get a lot of say because you have managers on top of bosses. And your line of work is very limited and you don't get to learn that much in terms of like the technical skill. You learn a lot in how to play the game politically and how to like influence people, influence teams, which is very valuable, to be honest. I learned a lot. And you also get to see like the changes in your product long term and how to solve problems within your team or on a particular project over time, rather than an agency where it's just like, we have this project, we're to do something really cool and just send it out and never see it again. So that's the pros of working in-house. But, you know, it was just very difficult because there's so much red tape in-house or at a large corporation.
Yeah, but it's good to make that distinction.
That was very...
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's something that I really struggled with just because, man, there was 3 months. I don't even know what the fuck we were doing. We were testing drop shadows for 3 months. I don't even know what the fuck that does. But I'm just like, that's how much money these corporations have to sit here for 3 months to for some reason test drop the usability of drop shadows. And yeah.
I hope it was worth it. I'm sure your mental strain was like, oh my god, I want to die. But at the same time,
it wasn't even my project. I was looking at people like, what is going on here?
At least they only got one task, Brandon.
God fucking damn.
But it's totally true, but it's also good to make that distinction to between like working for a probably smaller agency compared to like a massive corporate where you are one part of the cog, like one part of the machine, you're one very small cog. And people don't realize this. And this is something that I didn't know when I first got in the industry as well. It was like, well, if I was going to work for, I don't know, a massive corporation, I don't want to put any names on the table, but if I was working for a massive corporation and then kind of compare that to a smaller, just design focused place, I wouldn't have thought they'd be any different. Like, they're both listed as junior designer, they're both listed as web designer, but the second you talk to people like yourself and you hear the politics that go on, there is a lot, as you say, a lot of red tape.
Yeah, if you want to do like a junior level position and you want to really do something in the industry, go work in an agency first, please. Like, if you're really serious about gaining a lot of experience quickly and really moving up in your career very quickly. Like, I only worked in an agency a year and a half. My skill set exploded. My first year, I was sitting in the boardroom with the likes of, I think the CMO of Hilton, talking to their marketing team, the heads of their marketing team, about a new site that we were going to do for them. Like, and I wasn't just sitting in the room, I was presenting, I was showcasing ideas. Like, not only do you have to do the design work, and I was still a junior at this time. My title was a junior, but you get so much experience about, like, not only what to design, how to talk to these people, what they care about, how to present these people. Why is my throat dry? That actually hurts, and I have no more coffee.
You need a sec to go get a drink. I can handle it if you want to get some more.
That shit hurts. I think we're good. But, I don't know what that was. But, no, you just get a lot of experience, whereas I feel like my year and a half, or my other experience in-house, man, I don't know. You know what? I'm not trying to get negative, but anyway, the amount of experience that I got in just a year and a half an agency and where it put me, not only portfolio wise, but experience wise, it is invaluable. Direct access to the CEOs, the CFO, so much knowledge. You could literally walk in their office, talk with them like they were, you know, just another coworker. They would teach you things. It's insane.
That's impressive, though, to hear that you've had such a flip as well. Kind of many people would feel stagnant going into an agency or a peer. They would feel that their career path would be stagnant. They'd be like, well, I've got to be a junior for 3 years. I've got to just push buttons. Like, I've just got to sit here and do Photoshop editing and like,
That might be true. But that's the thing. When I was at an agency, I thought I was still a junior designer and I just didn't know because it was like my first agency experience. And I was like, oh, this is where it is everywhere. But then when I went to go look for another job, I was like, these motherfuckers are retarded. Like, I was like, what? You guys are seniors and y'all are doing this?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's just the joy of not having certification. But at the same time, if you had certification, people would riot. Like, it's not like we can go to the bar for law or you go to medical school. Like, you don't have... Well, that's not true. You do have design qualifications, but you don't have like the same degree level to be like, oh, well, one senior designer at a massive Fortune 500 compared to the small agency is like, they could be completely different, as you say. Like,
yeah. And just like a small tidbit here, like, you really have to do research in terms of what is expected of yourself skill set wise, because when I went from an agency to in-house, I actually undercut myself in terms of how much I asked in terms of salary. Because I was like, oh, well, I was paid this much at an agency. It's probably only like $40,000 more over here for like two, or one level up. I thought I was going to be like a mid-level. But I got a senior position and I undercut myself by like $30,000. And I was like, I could have made how much? So you really have to understand, you learn a lot at agencies. Do the work about like where your skill set is compared to the rest of the market and be able to place yourself based on your own skill set. And that is difficult because even I undercut myself. But that's something you have to look out for. Skill set is more than years of experience because I got all of that skill set in under 2 years.
Yeah, it's I hate it when people do that. It's one of the things I absolutely detest about Dribble, is that, just to be real blunt here, they recently changed their system and their layouts, and one of the things that really bothered me is on the accounts, it's like, oh, list what skills you have, and then they automatically are like, oh, if you want to list a skill, you have to add years to it. I'm like, what does it bloody matter? Like, I was taking on projects that, at my age, with my level of, like, my years of experience, that were 3 or 4 times that of people who were 10 years older than me. Like,
yeah.
That's a little bit bigging myself up and a bit egotistical to say, but it's true. And I'm sure you felt that as well going around some of the places you went to work.
Years don't matter. I was able to, so at my agency, I was able to do my manager's job within my 2 years of experience after he left. I was running all of the design, all the UX design challenges. I was doing all the client meetings myself. So it's just like, how... I was in a pressure cooker, and if you can put yourself in a situation where you're learning a lot of things in a short period of time, like, years of experience doesn't matter. I've seen portfolios of people who I'm trying to put on to hire for my team, and it said like 8 to 10 years of experience, and I'm like, you wouldn't even get a junior design position under me. Like, so years of experience don't matter, skills matter. And I think that's the best thing about our, that I think is changing in the world, because I don't have a college degree, and I just put in a lot of the hard work to showcase my skill set. And I think I'm very happy that is, happening, because I've seen and hired people who have just come out of college but have amazing ass work, and they're able to get to senior positions before the other people at the companies that have been there for like 4 or 5 years, just because their work is better. And I, you know, some the people that, you know, get upset that they've been at the company for 5 years and still not gotten senior positions, they fight over the fact that they've been at the company longer, and I'm like, but your work still is, it's not where it needs to be. And because they think it's years of experience versus how good you are at what you do.
Do you think that's because people start getting complacent?
Of course it is. Of course they feel like they deserve more money for being there longer than everywhere else. And I'm just like, that's just so dumb. Like, if you suck, you suck. If you're good, you're good. And the people who are good because they are trying to better themselves, not gain more. They're literally just trying to do better for themselves rather than looking outwards and saying, here, look at me, give me what I deserve. You do yourself a favor and give yourself what you deserve first, which is improve your skill set and better yourself for yourself, and then you get the external rewards. Same thing for how I started. I was doing something for me, no one else, and that just happened to be recognized. You should be doing your work because you want to do good work, and you will happen to be recognized. But I feel like the people in this mindset, I feel like, was more so in the larger corporations in the corporate world than in agency. Because in agency, people didn't give a fuck. They were, I know people who were getting paid,
ridiculous money.
Ridiculous and not a good sense. Like, you have to live with other people. And their work was astounding. I don't give a fuck. Like, they didn't care what they were paid. They were just like, yo, I'm about to blow this project out of the water. And that's the thing. Like, that's the mindset. I don't ever care what I'm paid. I will always do my best. You know?
I think people forget that, though, don't they?
They do. I don't know what happens there.
In the same way you use your paycheck as security, they use their paycheck as a way to be, like you mentioned, lazy, but I'm going to be being proper lazy. Like, they're going to use it as a way to just coast rather than as a way to use it as security to grow themselves. Because that's how you see it from what you've described. You see it as a way to build yourself having a financially stable position. But a lot of people just coast and they never improve and they hit that 10-year mark and they're completely outdated.
Yeah. So I don't know what happens, Connor, but I think that's scary because I'm like, what if you're...
We knew
this
it was
is the
coming.
Food alarm. I thought I turned it off. I don't know why it came back on.
We knew it was coming.
But I'm not lying about those habits. But yeah, I think it's just super important to stay hungry. Because I mean, man, instead of going to college, I worked for startups. I slept on the floor. I was eating like salmon PB&J, not all together, but like I was eating salmon sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 4 years, slept on the floor, couch surfing, not really making any money, but I was doing the craziest amount of work for zero money. And I don't know, it's just a grind thing, and it's a thing for myself. Like, I will always better myself no matter what the external circumstances are, because that's just how you survive, regardless if you're in the tech industry, if you're trying to do like, what is it, the living, what is it, the Walking Dead, if you don't improve.
Were you about to say the Living Dead?
the Living Dead, but
that's who we're talking about, Brandon.
But if you just don't improve, you're gonna die in some capacity. You're either gonna come obsolete, you're just gonna become obsolete. And you know, I really hope that you have to be good at something. You have to be really good at, even if your skill sucks, you have to be really good at putting yourself on and getting people to buy into you. You know what I mean?
At least trying. Like, yeah, that's what it comes down to. Putting in that effort, putting in those 2 hours a day in the morning before you go to your job to read a book or to do a course or to do whatever.
To do something.
Totally. Well, I hope people at home actually take a lot out of that, because I think that value is really important to just to, especially at the moment when we are, a lot of us are in lockdown, a lot of us are working from home, and there are a lot of people out there who currently are on limbo as to whether they'll even have a job in the future. So taking the time that you have now to really throw yourself into a skill or to a new skill is something I think is really valuable. And hopefully that pumps everyone up at home just to do a little bit for themselves.
Yeah, and that's another thing where, like, there's unlimited possibilities with the internet nowadays. Like, some people in my family are like, well, what do I do now? I'm like, we have internet, we have Google. Even if you have your phone, there's ways of making money online, whether that's taking, the simplest thing is, like, user testing, you have game testing, there's surveys you can do. That's, like, the minimum. That's, like, if... Because some
that's
of my
like
friends
no
just,
skill, yeah.
Yeah, there's always a way to get ahead. You just have to, like, we have a search engine that gives us all the answers we could possibly want. We just have to know what questions to ask it. So if you spend a day just, like, Googling shit, first of all, you might not know the right questions, but by just asking more and more, you'll start off with a generic question, and then you'll find articles that are like, oh, this is what this thing is called, or the specific keywords that can help you with your search. And then you will start to find things that actually are of help. That's actually how I got out of my full-time job. I had an interview with Aunt Ana Santos, and we were talking about her consulting, and I saw some shit on her LinkedIn. I was like, wait, hold on. What are these mentoring gigs? And she was like, oh, you know, that's what, you know, helps me in, you know, level out my revenue for some of it. Just brings in more revenue for my business when I'm having a rough month or something. And I was like, you can do that? So literally that week I Googled, I constantly was Googling like design mentor positions. I found like five schools that do all that stuff online. I applied to all of them within the next 3 days. And I got 4 of the 5. I don't know why I didn't get that last one, but anyway, F them. I don't want to work for them anyway. They pay the least. And I'm using that to help with everything else that I'm doing with my side stuff. That allowed me to be like, all right, this is sustainable enough. I only work with them, 16 to 20 hours a month. And that gives me enough security to work on my content full time. And I was like, I didn't know a way, but because of somebody mentioning something, I was like, oh, fuck, I got to go Google this stuff. So there's always a way to, like, make something happen. You just have to be consistent enough to want to find that answer and take action to find that answer. There's always a way.
There is always
especially
a way.
If we have Google.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Especially since we have literally endless possibilities on the internet. And yeah. Well, speaking of learning, you're actually partnered with Adobe, aren't you, Brand?
Yes.
As he does a massive guns out stretch on camera. But so what I wanted to ask you about that. I know we're kind of heading towards the end of the time we've got today, but what does your partnership with Adobe look like? And how did that come about? Was that another kind of happy coincidence that kind of fell into place?
Yeah, it was another happy coincidence. It started very small. I literally downloaded this app for influencer marketing. And I was like, oh, I don't know what this... Guys, this is when I had like no audience whatsoever. And I was like, oh, maybe... Again, from a Google search, I was like, how do influencers make money? Because this is after I saw like a pattern in my PC gaming freaks. I was like, I wonder if I can do this for myself. I found an app. I forget what it's called. It's still active. It has like a purple icon. I think it starts with a V. But if you Google apps, it'll be one of the first ones that pops up. So I downloaded it. I logged in with my Instagram and I was just, I don't know how to use this, whatever. And then I got a message from it and it was like, oh yeah, Adobe wants to use you for a, what's it called? Post or something. So one of their campaigns. And I was like, what? And at the time it was like, what was it? It was $250. I was like, oh shit, we about to make this money from a post. And so I got really excited. I did the post. And that's literally where it started. Under 10,000 followers, very little money. And I just did the best I could on this piece of content. And then from there, they really loved what I did. And they just asked for more and for more. And then I got in touch with their main social media agency. And then I got connected with their main social media hub over at Adobe. And it's just been a year after year, month after month, relationship build. And I absolutely love their team. It's been really exciting. Man, if Adobe were to send me if I could work with them, shit, I would do that today. In terms of like, they gave me a full-time position. But until then, anyway, it's been really cool, man. I work with them in content marketing. I do campaigns with them. We're actually working on actually, we might not be able to talk about this. So,
you're doing something cool.
I'm working on them. Yeah, I'm constantly working with them on new content, new campaigns. And it's just been really exciting to be a Adobe insider and partner. I'm very looking forward to, doing more with them in terms of design education and why Adobe XD is, man, I didn't realize like how many cool plugins Adobe XD has. They have like a VR plugin. There's just so much stuff that puts it ahead of every single other competitor out there right now. It's very nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wanted
but happy
to just...
accidents.
Yeah. That's what I was going to tie it up to is that. But it was that consistency. It was consistency of, well, why don't I put something in Google? Why don't I had this thought. You said you don't like thinking very much. Well, you're going to put those thoughts immediately into Google and you're going to get a response. Like that's, it, rather than sitting and dwelling on the ideas, you actually did something about it. And many people, myself included, would look at this, looking at your account for the first time and say, this dude's partnered with Adobe? Like, how the hell did he get that? Is that some like backdoor type, signed some super scary contracts, like he sold his soul away? And
no.
As you say, in reality, it's actually just a case of right place, right time, and putting the effort in.
It's always effort first. Like, I don't ever really... Like, sometimes I'll have... Like, I want something specific. But usually that one... The thing that I want that is specific is me wanting to do something for myself. Because that's where everything really starts. And plus, when it comes to motivation, like... I'm motivated when I learn something new. I'm not really motivated when money's thrown my way. You know what I mean? Like,
if that's the first thing that's thrown at you.
Yeah, I'm motivated by like, oh, I'm about to learn this one thing. I'm going to gain this one thing for myself. I'm going to learn this new skill. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to be smarter. I'm going to be faster, whatever. Like those things I'm super excited about. And that's why I'm able to do things long term, because it's about me first. And the outside stuff, when it comes along, all right, cool. That's just a nice perk. But I'm always about what can I do to better myself first, because that's stuff that just makes me happy. Whereas other people, I feel like they're like, oh, I posted something on TikTok or Instagram and it's like, fuck, I only have 3 likes. I'm going to stop because it's not working. I'm not. When I post something, I'm just like, I think this is cool. Post it out. I don't really fucking care what happens afterwards. I still to this day, I'm just like, I'm going to make this video because I think it's dumb as shit and I want to see it. I'm going to put this out because I think it's awesome. So, yeah, that's just, I think that's the easiest way of doing anything long term, liking it first. If you're doing something for monetary gain or like a metric, that becomes very hard because you're like, I'm going to do this thing to get famous or because I want X amount of likes. Like that's already disheartening from the beginning, because if you don't meet it, you're like, oh, fuck, I suck. Or like, this isn't working. Where it's just like, no, this shit's funny. We about to post that. Or, oh, this shit is real cool. We going to post that. It's more exciting.
And more then you as well. It's more you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's more authentic, which then leads to people finding you as the way that has happened with Adobe and all the other partnerships you've had and building those things up and building up that network. And yeah, I think people need to learn that and remember that. And I think that's a great piece of advice and value to them, is that be consistent, enjoy what you do, and share that bit of you. Because a lot of people are so caught up in this idea of, well, I should be making this type of content, I need to be doing this, I need to be trying that. When pick something you love and just go with that. Or if it really inspires you, share that.
Yeah, and be consistent about it. Because I know people are like, oh, I love my dog today. Oh, I love my coffee today. And oh, I like the way I look today. And Brandon said, I post what you love. I love all these 3 things. Like, you have to keep it like specific. One thing, either all dogs one day or all dogs and coffee. You have to be specific or people are just like, they don't know what to expect from you. But just to put it, like wrap it all up, like this is how much of an accident was, or all of this sort of thing was. When I first got contacted by LG, I looked in my email. I was like, who are these bitches trying to scam me? Because half the email was in Korean. I was like, nope, not today. And I literally left the email in my inbox for like a week. And then I was just like, let me read this shit, or like copy and paste some of this into Google Translate. And I was like, oh, this is them. Okay, I'll email back. Like, that's how nobody really knows what they're doing. I'm the most clueless one. I just happen to really like what I do, the videos that I make, and the content and the people that I promote, because their shit is awesome.
Totally. And Brandon, thank you so much for bringing such a wave of positivity to the show. I really appreciate it. And we're going to wrap up things there for today. So where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can find me at Brandon Gross on Instagram. The O's are zeros, but if you just type my name in, Brandon Gross, in Instagram, you'll find me. You guys can also get many resources on how to become a better animator or designer from my newsletter at brandongross.me/newsletter. That will be in the description down below. Connor has it for us, and that's really much it. If you want to learn how to become a better designer and make the stuff that's on my timeline, join my newsletter and also check out the videos on my Instagram feed.
Perfect, mate. Thank you so much for being on the show. And for people listening at home, if you've enjoyed today's show, make sure to kind of share that from whatever app you're listening onto Instagram stories, tag me and Brandon. We'll be able to check that out and see what you guys think. And if you're listening to this on a podcast app where you can rate the show, please leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a little comment about what you thought about the show and we can build it out from there, and I'll read them out on the next solo episode. Thank you so much to Brandon again, and we'll be back same time next week. Bye for now.